Greetings and good afternoon. Let's open this up. And we had such a great sermon this morning about marriage. And I need to get a copy of that so I can listen to it again. So thank you for that, Ron. And, you know, the Bible's open up here to Proverbs. Why don't we go to Proverbs 16? I just love to read out of the Proverbs. I don't know if you also like that, but you know, kind of like the sermon we had this morning about marriage and learning about working together. I mean, Proverbs is just, you know, just oozing with knowledge and wisdom for all of us, and it's just fantastic to dig into it. So Proverbs chapter 16, let's start in the first verse there. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord, and the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Oh, that's a great verse. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. And the light of the king's countenance is life, and in his favor as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before the destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. That again is just a fantastic verse there. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Boy, isn't that so true? A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. We can be so easily influenced sometimes, it seems. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And I like this, the first verse of chapter 17. I also like this one. It's really good. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therein than a house full of sacrifices with strife. And we could just read through here. I wouldn't have to do any preaching. We just read through the end of Proverbs. I mean, this is just good reading, isn't it? It's like a good Tom Sawyer novel. maybe parts of Tom Sawyer novel, but the preparations of the heart is so. One thing that is consistent through this chapter in Proverbs is the heart. And the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. And there was another one in here too. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand he shall go unpunished. I mean, if we just go through and find all of these that have heart in them, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I think there's one more heart in here. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. I think that might be the last one, unless there's another one in here. But that's four verses on the heart in here. And verse 32 is a little bit, is another, just a really good one, thinking about he that ruleth his spirit, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. And slow to anger. So this sense of the heart is all through this chapter. And it sounds to me like the heart is the source for us. You know, we're called to worship the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and our strength. And but the heart seems to be the thing that the Bible continues to come back to, is the source of things. And so why is it that the heart is so important? What is it about that organ? What is it about the, you know, if we think about the heart pushes the oxygen and pushes life out to all of the rest of our body. It pushes life out into our fingers, our toes, our brain. We could also think the brain could be the most important thing, right? It pushes the actions of what to do. It pushes the physical actions and thoughts that we commit to our body to carry them out. But I think the brain is more of a secondary function to the heart of man. I mean, what is in our hearts this morning is what this is calling out to us. It's saying, you know, what is in your heart this morning and what is it driving you to? How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. And it says here, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and added learning to his lips. So the heart is this source. It's like the battery, right? It's the source of who we are comes from our heart. And what are the things of our heart that we're seeking today? And how do those compare to the things that God is saying here that is so important for us? I think that's what we're being challenged with this afternoon, to think about that. What are the things that are on your heart this afternoon? I can't answer that question for you. I mean, I think it's just it's an open question. I mean, these Proverbs, they cut kind of deep. I mean, they're fun to read, and we see instantly the wisdom of them reading them, because we know things that have happened in our lives around us. I know, like this verse 28 that we just read, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. I know that I have had separation from some of my friends because of what people have told me about them. And so we know these things to be true just by reading through here and looking at this. And maybe we will hear more about the heart when we move to the New Testament and get into another chapter there. But I'd leave it as just an open question to the first half of this. Where is your heart this morning? And do you see how important it is to where you're headed and to how we're going to connect together with the Lord today, tomorrow, and this year? Let's pick a song. I don't actually have one in mind, so I'm just thumbing through here. But if you have one more, or anyone has a song, go ahead. And
what about 33?
33, fantastic. Fellowship of the Saints. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this afternoon, we're just so astonished at your grace, your glory, your love for us, the great many things you have done in creating this world around us, in creating the loved ones and friends that we have, Lord, in giving us a path to know you, to experience the true joy of being a Christian, to know that our sins are forgiven, Lord, is such a peace and such a blessing. To know that you have created us each to be someone unique, someone special in your eyes with a special purpose and a special gift in this life that we can carry on in your glory, Lord, is such a blessing. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for this church, Lord. We thank you that sitting here today, we have our own elder to lead us as we as a church should seek to have local leadership, Lord. We're just so thankful that you have laid things out so clearly in the Scripture that we might understand the value of having an elder, and that we might have our hearts tuned into seeking an elder, Lord, and that you might bless us with Ken and Lynn to be here with us to serve this church and to be an overriding guidance to this church to guide us to be closer to you, Lord. We just are so thankful for their commitment, for their hearts, and for the future that you have laid out. We just thank you, Lord, for all those that are doing so many great works and have such a heart for prayer and for love amongst the brothers and sisters of this church, Lord. Even just listening to the mission trip at lunch, there's so much work being put in, Lord. We pray that you'd bless those that are working on your behalf to bring us together and to bring glory on your name. We just pray, Lord, that you will be with us in the next 30 minutes and guide us into your word that we may understand even better what it is that you have us to do on this earth, Lord. We pray that we could serve and love you joyfully and willingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Ron. All right, this Bible has some creases, so I gotta flip it. You know, just kind of see if we can't get into an area we haven't been in a while. Maybe we should just continue on. Let's read in Romans chapter 13. So Romans chapter 13, we'll just start in verse 1. It's a relatively short chapter. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, but he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for there are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision of the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So I thought this verse 8 stood out to me. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. But it's an interesting way to think about the law, because the law has many parts to it. So if you can just sum it up into one sentence like that, it's really quite memorable for you to think about as we go about in our lives. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And so if we can just love those that are around us, think about that in your everyday dealings with people that are around you, right? I mean, if you really love the other person, sometimes we have different outcomes to things than maybe the first outcome that comes to hand. You know, the title of this chapter is The Authority of the State. And it's an interesting concept as we think about Christians since the time this was written. If we think about, you know, early AD to now, I mean, 2,000 years, you know, Christians have generally been persecuted by the state. But yet then we're called here, which is kind of a conundrum, to be subject to the higher powers and to be subject to the state. And it's, I think there's a difference there is that we're supposed to be subject to the state up until when? And so this is kind of answered here as you go through verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. So rulers are supposed to be a terror unto evil, and they're supposed to... The God-given right of a ruler is to promote good in the society, and is to find good in the country, is to find good in the things around us. And what better to have in your society, in your country, in your kingdom, than to have a Christian is someone who is going to follow the rules that you put in as long as they're good rules. So we're called as Christians to follow rules that are good rules and do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. But he is a minister of God for thee to good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute upon him that doeth evil. So here it's telling us that there is a penalty for evil. And that in the instance where the state decides to have evil put into society around us, it says here, who's going to protect us? Is it us? Says no. It says that you should be afraid and you should fear God at that moment and not necessarily man. And then it also tells us that to follow our conscience and to have a good conscience and to pay tribute and to custom to custom, fear to fear, honor to whom honor. So I think it's this goes back then to fulfilling the laws, is that we should treat others as we would want to be treated to some extent. And saying here that if we love our neighbor, if we think about the honor that they would like, the customs or traditions that they have, the fears that they have, the tributes that they expect, that we should render those unto them. And as Jesus had famously said, right, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, unto God what is God's. And I think there's a calling here in the Proverbs from our heart and from our understanding is that, you know, to love someone, I think you also have to be genuine. You also have to have a genuine knowledge of something in order to love someone. I'll give you an example. Tatton, my oldest son, was trying to build a saltwater fish tank, and he's been looking all over to figure out how he's going to do it and where he's going to go. But yesterday we ran into this guy named Chancellor, who works at one of the stores here in town, and he was the genuine article. He could actually give us a lot of information, because you can go to just about any store and they'll tell you exactly what you need to do and everybody has their opinion. But Chancellor took the time out to say, well, as a kid, my dad supplied all these stores with all the fish equipment in four states. So he's like, I went around with my dad to four states. I've seen every fish store here and in a four-state area. And he's like, we had a 500-gallon tank, and as a kid, I would climb in there and clean it myself, just swim around in there and clean it. And then he told us about all the fish tanks he'd built in his life. And, you know, he said, oh, well, I've tried that one, and I've tried this one, and I don't recommend that. But he was a genuine article. He actually knew this guy, and his name was Chancellor. He's the Chancellor of Fish. And he was the genuine article, right? And then he gave us his Instagram page, and he said, you know, when you can come in to get the best fish. And he knew everything. So we instantly believed Chancellor, and we were a lot closer to making a saltwater tank than we had ever been because we had someone that was genuine and genuinely knew. And it goes back to the Proverbs, right? Chancellor, to get good at what he did, he had to train himself and to know so that he could actually speak the knowledge of how to do this adventure. And it wasn't something that was easily achieved, whereas most people might tell you exactly what you need to do, but they really don't have the background and experience. And that was an act of neighborly love. And he spent, you know, like 30 minutes with us, and Tatton got out his electronic notebook and he took notes, and you know, it was an act of love that someone could impart knowledge unto us. And that's what the Bible here is telling us is about the world around us. It's an act of love for us to read the Bible and to understand it from the lofty point of view that we have in Romans. I mean, Romans is a very strong and it's a very powerful book, and it's helping us to understand how do we exist as Christians within the state. And it's telling us here that the state is getting its authority to do good from God. And it's telling us that the state must do good. And if it doesn't punish evil and do good, then that it should fear God himself. And that's a great comfort for me to know. You know, we can look around. I mean, today we have documentaries about everything. It's so easy to go watch some documentaries on, you know, Berlin, 1939, and think, oh my, you know, that could happen here. Christians, we could all be locked up and killed or doing something, you know. But there's a great sense of joy and confidence in the Lord not to look at the sensational things that have happened in the last 2,000 years and to have our hearts pointed towards him and to have our trust in him, because that's what he's just saying here is that we don't have to really worry about the state. We don't have to worry about the things that are happening around us. What we have to worry about is our heart. Is our heart connected to Christ and committed to following him? If we can do that, well then, this other stuff is easy. And then we're given the love fulfilling of the law and a great simplification of it, which is great for me because I have a hard time remembering all the different laws that were sent to us in the Old Testament. But if I can just think here, like if I'm going to do something with Bill, if I can just think like, what's a good outcome for Bill when we go out to lunch? Or, you know, if I can think about the people that I'm working with you know, what's a good outcome? How can it is that as a Christian, I can spread good to those that are around us. And sometimes those things aren't easy. Sometimes it means that you may have to work at something longer and harder than you planned. Sometimes it means that you might have to, you know, give some of your best energy to other people with nothing in return. And that's what builds a great church also. If you think about, Ron talked so well about marriage this morning, and a great marriage, and he's telling us as men to seek our wives, to serve our wives, if I can paraphrase accurately. And it's the same thing that we have to do as fellow people in this church, is we have to think about how we help and seek and love those that are around us. And in doing so, you create a happy church, a happy home, a happy friendship. And so it's a great simplification of the gospel, which I can really appreciate. And then the armor of light here is thrown in as the last piece to this. Now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we had believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to make not provision for the flesh, or to fulfill the lusts thereof. This here is just kind of a call at the end. I mean, let us walk honestly as in the day. Let us just go and let's walk honestly. Is that so hard for us to do? And I think it's not that hard for us to do, especially on Sundays, because we don't have a lot else going on. So we've got a day off here. We can talk about walking honestly in the Lord, walking in the day, not in the night. And it's an easy thing today. But and why are we doing that? We're doing that because our salvation is nearer than we had believed. And that's a fantastic thing, just to know all the promises that we have of God and how he's going to take care of us and love us. And in the week ahead, very simple messages. Proverbs and the authority of the state, loving one another. And let's put on that armor of light this week and live in the light and not live in the darkness.
Well, this has been an irritating day. I mean, Ron gave us enough homework for a lifetime this morning. And then this afternoon is just beautiful. The Proverbs and this concept of the light. So, did anything irritate you today? I hope not. I mean, but it happens, right? We think about what we are and what we're not. And it does start in our hearts where we were pushed today to look at our own heart and to be genuine. This idea of getting into a 500-gallon fish tank is not too appealing. I've seen a lot of smelly fish tanks, haven't you? If your dad said, get in the fish tank, would you get in the fish tank? I guess he did. He maybe even liked it. But isn't that kind of what our nature is? Our nature is we see the world or our neighbor or our circumstances like a smelly fish tank, kinda. One thing my dad taught me out in the barn was that if he gave me a pitchfork and I started in this big old mess that was 3 feet high and I loaded up the manure spreader, when it got done, it was nice. And I bet the first time he got in the fish tank, it was gross, and yet when he saw how clean it was and what giving of yourself does, the fruit and the blessing and the joy that comes from actually serving someone else brings the genuineness. And I don't know what comes first. What comes first in your life? Is it the understanding so that we have a heart that moves us for the right reason, or does it start with first an obedience in ignorance, where we then see the fruit of the instruction, and then we have the heart. I've been contemplating this because my heart is always not right. And yet, the experience of life and cleaning the fish tank brings an awareness of Christ and a genuineness to our life. So you can look at the to-do list that Ron gave us this morning and say, okay, I got another to-do list. I'm going to do this because this is what I'm supposed to do. Or we could do it because we want a joyful relationship with those around us. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're of a perfect heart and you're going to respond because of your awareness of Christ and you want to serve Him, or whether right now you just need to go home and do it and see the fruit and love when you don't feel like love. And then we realize the fruit of that fish tank. So let's just go do whatever we need to do. Let's go love. And then I believe it brings joy. It brings joy. We're all just like that husband that Ron read about this morning that says, but you don't understand, I don't feel like loving her. I don't want to love her. I don't love her. But the man said, then love her. That verb. Dad says, get in the fish tank. I don't want to get in the fish tank. But then we see the beauty of how all of this fits together and the love of Christ. Yeah, it's for the other person that we serve. Yeah, in a way, but it is really our own cleansing. It's our own heart that changes. So that's why we're going to sing hymn number, well, that's a reason to sing, hymn number 537. I think we did this last week or the week before, but I have a joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Love that song. Now look, happiness is external. Happiness is external. You get happy over things that happen. Joy is from the center of your soul. It's being one with God. It's being at peace with God. Let's sing that hymn, 537.
I have a joy, 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 joy.
We'd ask Brother close in prayer, please.
Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful to come to church today and sing with joy in our heart and worship our Almighty God. The one who cares enough about us to even have a relationship with us. And we pray, Lord, as a congregation today, that not just on Sundays, but that all throughout the week and throughout every aspect of our lives, even when we make mistakes, maybe even more when we make mistakes, that people would see the love of Christ in us, and they would see the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, and that it would permeate everything that we do, and that the world, who is certainly seeking for some truth and something to hold on to and not finding it, that they would see the truth that comes from the Word, from the Bible and from a life that is lived truly, genuinely loving our neighbors as ourselves, loving our wife more than our own bodies, and submitting one to another, and all the things that we've learned through the truth of your word. So thank you, Lord, for the reminders today from the brothers who have spent time in your word, learning and growing, not just in preparation for today, but throughout their lives, for an opportunity to be the voice of truth today to each one of us. So bless us throughout this coming week. Guide our congregation. Be with us as we support Ken and Lynn and their enhanced role within the church, and just continue to help us to live out what you have taught us and what you have blessed us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.